There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're talking retail now. Delighted to welcome into the Dubai Eye studio from Accenture, Alexis Lecanue. Alexis, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. A big retail event taking place in Dubai at the moment, the Retail Leaders Circle. And you say the big talking point is the rise in the UAE, not just of e-commerce, but more specifically, mobile commerce. We are buying more stuff on our mobile phones. Give us the evidence to support that.
Yes, let's say correct. You know, when we start this conversation and the digital transformation in retail 3 years ago, we were basically saying that the digital transformation is not applying to Middle East for certain reason, because we have a lot of iconic malls, because we have a lot of service available. And what we are seeing now, that this is coming big time, with some evidence around souk, around noon, and this is coming not linear compared to Europe and the rest of the market, but regarding the mobile, we see more adoption here on the mobile. We see that we are usually 20, let's say, point above the average of Europe in terms of browsing for product in the mobile, in your mobile before purchasing them, or mobile commerce, or e-commerce, or stores. So, you know, the fact that you are more influenced by your mobile here does not mean that you are not going to the stores.
But what percentage of retail spend in the UAE this year will be on mobile phone? And then the last time I was at a conference and research was revealed, it was a shopping centres conference, but about 1.5% of total retail spend was digital, and mobile will make up only a small fraction of that 1.5%. That was the research I heard late last year. Yeah. What's the latest research Accenture has?
And that's probably right. But the right thing to look at it is not the share of mobile commerce only, because you start your shopping trip by being influenced. You know, one of the trends we are tracking is something we call see now, buy now. So basically, with your mobile, you see something nice in fashion on the street, you take a picture and you buy this one, all through mobile commerce, all through e-commerce, so all through the store. So in fact, there's three numbers to track. The market share of mobile commerce, that is probably close to 1-2% maximum in some categories, close to 10 in some other category, because the adoption is not, you know, the same category by category, fashion, electronic.
So that's interesting. Talk me through those distinctions. Which category would be up to 10% penetration of mobile commerce?
Travel, hotel, is already above 10%.
On mobile.
And that's the first number to track. But the second number to track, and this is the one we are focusing on with our retailer in the region, is how many of your purchases are influenced by the mobile consumption. And this is already close to 50%. I think a recent study in the UK market for the young generation, so 18 to 24, saying that on fashion already it's more than 50% of the of this generation is using mobile to select and to be influenced for their product choice today.
When you say influence, do you mean I've seen someone wearing something on Instagram that looks nice, I want one?
Exactly, that's something like that. And this is also, let's say, what you are doing. So this is changing, you know. We, for example, in fashion, we were all talking about fashion retail for the last, let's say, 10 years, which is basically accelerating the season, the freshness of the product. But now, you buy a fashion item, you publish online, so you don't want to publish the same picture with the same fashion product in 1 week from now. So what you will basically say, this is accelerating the purchase. Some of my clients was calling that fashion disposal retail. So yeah, this is changing, and this is changing through the mobile consumption. So this is where the influence of mobile is much more, let's say, impactful and important today to look after than only the mobile commerce share.
But I'm already reading about the backlash against disposable fashion or fast fashion, call it whatever you like, the sort of the H&M, Zara, stock it high, when it's gone, constant churn. You know, we pay less for garments and we own more of them. I'm already seeing a couple of reports that suggest that particularly the younger generations are sort of worried about the ethics of that, as it were, have maybe a little bit less disposable cash, and that this model might actually be taking a bit of a hit.
So let's say that's the paradox of the equation. On one side, you need to be, and that's sure, and that's a strong trend. You need to be more responsive. You need to be more customer centric. You need to be ready, let's say, to serve this market, which is accelerating, let's say, their need, their way to purchase. In the other side, you have also a strong sustainable agenda to take care of those. So some new business models are coming within retail for the second hand or things like that. So this is part of the equation, and this is coming big time. And we believe UAE is a unique, let's say, ecosystem in retail, you know, with a specific traffic model, especially of Dubai, with the traffic of tourists, traffic of expats. So this is a place where those trends need to be addressed by the retail ecosystem big time.
I was interested to see that a few days ago, Nike made an acquisition, big athletic company, but they didn't buy a rival sneaker maker or t-shirt maker. They bought a company called Zodiac, which is a consumer data analytics company, because they want to understand consumers better. How are retailers and indeed product manufacturers using artificial intelligence analytics to sell us more sneakers?
Yeah, so that's also a big trend. When you compare traditional retailer with pure player retailer, the main gap in capability is around analytics. And the main component of this analytic agenda is customer analytics. So the ability to understand the customer, but more importantly, to serve in a personalized way will be key to differentiate and to create traffic, because at the end of the game, you know, retail is all about traffic. The battle number one. Yeah.
But does this not get into the creepy world of Facebook and Cambridge Analytica? And a Brandy's downloaded her Facebook data over the past couple of days, and
they know all my friends' phone numbers. Who knew?
And they know that you're interested in athletics. Presumably, Nike's interested in that data. But we're all quite concerned now, much more so than we were a week ago. Alexis, how will that change the way companies like Nike can use data and consumer analytics?
As a retailer, let's say the topic is really to serve better your customer. You don't want to browse thousands of products to choose your preferred one. You want to speed up some of the products you are buying every week. You would like auto-replenishment for that. Some of the products you don't know, you would like some inspiration for that. So as a retailer, the key challenge is, what is the use of data? It can be your personal data, but it's more importantly all the data around the product, around the availability of stock, around the availability, let's say the trend in the market, the color trend in the social media, that will make relevant my offer to you specifically as a personalized offer.
But I think what Rich is getting at is less about whether it's relevant or not, targeted advertising and all the rest of it can be very convenient and can be very relative. But I think at the moment, the worry is, how do you know that my favorite color is yellow and that I run, so therefore I might be interested in jogging shoes? I think people are getting a lot more worried about the creepiness of some of that targeted marketing. So how do you get away from that?
So, you know, it's a paradox with two angles. So, and data privacy is clearly a strong, let's say, preoccupation in the agenda. What we are seeing from the number is much more customer asking for a more personalized interaction with their retailer. So today, most of the trend is really help me to have a more personalized offer, to have a more, let's say, efficient interaction. So we are seeing much more, and this is a generation effect also. When we compare generation by generation, my daughters are much more ready to share their personal information to get something in exchange that is relevant to them than me today.
We'll have to leave it there. Alexis, great talking to you. Alexis Le Cagnere, Managing Director with Accenture in the Middle East. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.